This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Welcome to part three of our conversation with Rod Hightower, the new president of EAA. In this segment, we're going to touch on the long-term goals of the organization and where it sees itself fitting as the industry evolves and as the participants evolve. Rod, just that. Where does EAA fit in the long-term success, we all hope, of the aviation industry?
Well, I think that's a great question, Russ, but there's no hesitation on my answer there. We fit in what I call the grassroots heart of aviation. We, EAA, is very concentrated on our mission to grow aviation participation. And we know that that participation generates what I call a move the needle on the aviation GDP. And that means we help bring more pilots into the aviation community, we help fly more fleet hours in the aviation community, and we actually help sell more goods and services to the aviation community by having the passionate group of aviators, flyers, and builders that we represent in EAA. We're perfectly certain about that.
Are you certain that there will be a grassroots in aviation, that it won't just become a job that needs to get done? Will there always be a grassroots in aviation going into the future?
I am convinced there will be, Russ, and that there is. The reason that I say that is I look at what has evolved in the aviation space to be a significant effort to keep the cost of aviation affordable, to keep new pilots coming into the pipeline and interested in flying, and to make sure that we manage the regulatory and the legislative processes that enable aviation to continue to grow at the grassroots level. So some of the things that have been done in the past, the light sport aircraft category, the sport pilot, that regulatory process has brought and will continue to bring more pilots, more aircraft into the world of aviation at a lower price point than what may be available in other formats. So that grassroots movement is alive and well. Aviation always appeals to a very broad range of people, and those broad range of people have broad ranges of pocketbooks as well. So the fact that not everyone can afford to go out there and buy a million-dollar airplane says, I've got to find another way to get in the air, and there's a lot of ways to do that, whether it's an ultralight, whether it's a home built, whatever it may be. There's a mode of flight that will suit most budgets out there and available today.
Okay, we've heard a lot of theories on why kids don't seem to be as interested in aviation. I'm not sure that it's true. Are you sure that that's true, and what's your explanation for that?
I don't think that it's true. I think that there's probably been a bit of a distance or a bit of a gap between what I call the aviation world and the general population. Out in the general population of young people and kids, they have a lot of choices to make today. They have a lot of activities in their lives, whether it's school activities, sports, or things outside of that. They have lots of choices to make, and there's only so much time and money that anyone has to spend pursuing their passions and their hobbies. So there's no question there's a lot more choices out there. However, that doesn't mean there's less kids interested in flying and aviation. There are some things that I think we should all be concerned about, in a sense that we make sure that it doesn't become a barrier that's impassable. You know, the fences around airports today make them a little bit less friendly and a little bit less accessible than airports might have been in the past. However, when I talk to young people and when I provide Young Eagle flights and I talk to their parents, you find kids that have interest in aviation anywhere and everywhere. Whether they have a technology bent or whether they have an artistic bent doesn't seem to matter that much. We welcome all types into the world of aviation, and we find them there. When I talk to teachers and educators, and when I speak at schools, I can tell you firsthand that there are some children that are readily identifiable as significantly interested in aviation. What we have to make sure that we do is, A, extend that very warm and friendly invitation, and next, we have to provide pathways to bring them in to the aviation lifestyle.
Okay, so what can I do? What can you do? What can the average EAA member, who is probably an aging baby boomer, do to make sure that there is a future grassroots?
Well, I think we continue to do a lot of the things that we already do. You know, our 900 chapters with our broad membership, they fly lots of young eagles. They talk to the public. They attend school events. They promote aviation everywhere they can in whatever form that makes sense. We certainly need to continue welcoming women in aviation. We can. The work that Peggy and her group is doing is fantastic. Women Soar, fantastic organization that reaches out to a group of young women that I think is very important. And you know, it strikes a particular chord with me because I have five children and four daughters. So it's very important to fuel that passion and to provide that inspiration to young people. And I think it's also important to provide the next step of after inspiration, which is the experience. How do you give that young person a good, positive experience in the aviation world that continues to light the fire and keep the interest strong and keep it high? So I think we're going to continue to do a lot of those things, but it's also important to talk about the Young Eagles program. Young Eagles is ready for the next step. So taking Young Eagles up a notch to the next step is part of our strategy work right now to continue that outreach program that's turned out to be one of the world's largest youth outreach programs. And there's something else that might appear to people to be what I call an expansion of the magazine, but let me tell you what else it is. Not only are we expanding the magazine to expand EAA's coverage of the diverse world of aviation, we're also going to richen that coverage to talk more about the aviation experiences in a broader and a deeper way. When we talk to pilots and we say, what were your inspirational moments? How did you become interested in flying? What were those experiences that got you into the world of aviation? So many times they look back in their past and they talk about an airplane overhead or someone they knew that had an airplane or a friend of a friend that was an inspiration to introduce them to flying. And then they so often talk about the next step, which says, how did I manage my first flight experience to determine if this was going to be for me or not? So those pathways have got to be secure, and we've got to reach out there, continue to reach out there, and inspire those young folks and let them know there's ways to enter. There's a lot of scholarship money available to youth today to learn how to fly. There's lots of support from the industry to provide not only the pathway, but to help them financially if they need help to get started. So those are the efforts the industry is doing, and I think we can continue to do. I think there also needs to be a broader invitation to the general population. The general population needs to remember that aviation is important. It's fun. It's cool. It's a very interesting place to be in whatever way you think you might find interesting.
How many of your kids are interested in becoming pilots? They've grown up around aviation?
That's a great topic, and I love to talk about it. Out of my five, my oldest is 17. I have 17, 14, 11, 8, and 2. The 14-year-old is crazy about flying. It's my son, John. He loves flying. He's taking his primary flight instruction in our Stearman, and I can tell he's destined to solo on his 16th birthday, and he'll probably have a private license on or about his 17th birthday, and my guess is a commercial ticket on or about his 18th birthday. I can tell that's already happening. My 11-year-old daughter, she is crazy about flying, and she has a particular love of aerobatics. Can't describe it or where it came from, but that girl is absolutely happy when she's upside down and any configuration but straight and level. That's what she enjoys. So
What's her name?
Hillary.
That's Hillary.
H-I-L-A-R-Y. So I think I've got two flyers for sure. The 8-year-old loves to go up on a nice, smooth, beautiful day, fly over her friend's house and wave at them and her school and her house and things that are important to her. So there's an interest there that's started to show itself. So I think I can safely say 2 out of 5, high probability, possible 3 out of 5.
Okay, well, that's a pretty high average, actually. Thanks very much for your time today, Rod. It's been an interesting conversation over 3 segments. We wish you the best of luck as things unfold for you, and congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Russ. It's an honor and a privilege to lead the EAA, and I can't wait to continue to get started.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.